Sometimes my wife says, it's so good to see you on this Wednesday night and being in the house of the Lord. And I'm not going to try to sing anything tonight. I wanted to say thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your concern over the last several days for our nation. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for the United States of America. I feel like we need that. And I'd really contemplated a lot this evening coming into this service about how to actually conduct this service this evening. And then I believe the Lord laid something upon my heart to share with you for a little bit. And I'm not going to tell you if I'm going to be short or long. I have no idea about that. I just get up here and do what God tells me to do. And I've just got a few notes. That's all I got, a few notes. And I just want to share a few things with you this evening. Just what's on my heart, what's on my mind. I found out with myself, if I can just be comfortable just speaking what God's put in my heart for the moment, a lot of times that works out a lot better than trying to do something that I'm uncomfortable with. So I want you to stretch your hand this way, and I want to pray for our nation, pray for myself as I minister this evening, and I just want to pray for you and for the body of Christ here at Thomasville Church of God. Father, we thank you, O God, again this evening for your love, your mercy, O God, that you've given us. Father, I know that, God, this evening that you are on the throne. And without you, O Father God, we cannot do anything at all. You have proven that over and over and over and over again, that, God, without you, we can do nothing. Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just touch us right now, just settle us. I pray, God, that you just let us concentrate on the word and concentrate solely, God, upon that you'd have us to speak. Father, I thank you, God, that you've given us the privilege of prayer. I pray for our nation. I just pray that this nation would turn to you. And, Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd just minister in the service tonight. Father, I thank you, God, for your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, I'm going to give you just a minute to turn over to the Old Testament, to another Old Testament reading this evening. And again, there's nothing that I could add to this. I'm sure you could add a whole lot to it if you had the time to sit down and we could have a good long Bible discussion about this. But I want to just talk about a few things that I personally wanted to share with you. The book of Daniel, chapter number 3, if you will. And I just want to talk about something really, really simple this evening that I believe the Lord laid on my heart today. And as I've been working around here and praying the last few days that I'd have what God would want me to read and share with you this evening. Again, a very familiar portion of Scripture, Daniel, chapter number 3. I want to talk to you this evening just for a few minutes on the rewards of the faithful. Now, I know that we could go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and we could actually go in there and we could start talking about that. And we could talk a whole lot about Faith's Hall of Fame and talk about those that's been faithful. If there's ever been a day and an hour and a time for us all to reaffirm our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the day and the hour whereby we are living in. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may not ever come. That even the Word of God says the day is the day of salvation. So today is the day of proclamation that we declare who Jesus truly is. And, you know, my mind goes back to the reading of the Word of God in the book of Matthew, where the Bible says as Jesus was there and Jesus said, if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, then I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And I believe when I hear that verse of Scripture that I really believe this with all that's within me, that there is a line in the sand in the United States. There's a line in the sand in the world today. Again, Sherry and I, we were talking about this and the biblical moral value system that I talked about the other day, where it seems like that there's relatively no right or wrong. It's just kind of gray in our world today. And I think that's where the enemy of our soul is trying to get us to that point where you know, people would call right wrong and wrong right, and there'd just be a great big illuminated a world that's filled with a chaos. And I think we're there without shadow of a doubt. But I do believe this with everything within me, that God is going to reward his faithful people. I believe that with everything that is within me and every fiber that is within me. I like doing other things besides preaching. I like to get out in the yard. I like to mess with my flower beds. I like to go to my building and do projects down there. But there's not anything that I'd rather do than to preach the Word of God and to study and to prepare myself for moments like this. And I just really believe that God has got a remnant of people. I believe that with everything within me. And again, I feel this in my own heart. I feel this within my own spirit, that if you're living in the gray, you don't know whether you're a Christian. You don't know where you stand on biblical moral issues. I think today's the day and let me say it like this, because it's the way I feel it, that there's truly going to be a day and an hour where God's going to separate righteous from unrighteousness and the sheep from the goat. And only those that know his voice will hear him say, "Enter in, well done, thou good and faithful servant." When we look at Daniel chapter number 3, the rewards of the faithful, look at your neighbor and say, "Just be faithful." Just look at him, just say, "Just be faithful." And when I talk about that, I'm talking about being faithful to biblical principles, the Word of God, faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be faithful to a whole lot of other things too, but I'm not talking about football practice and basketball practice and ball games and you know, things of that nature this evening. I'm talking about life and death, heaven or hell, and how you're going to stand before the Lord God. Amen. The story that's before us is a very lengthy story. This particular event, not just a story, an event, took place a long time ago, about 639 years before Jesus came. This was already going on with King Nebuchadnezzar and the tyrants of that day. Again, you can read this, and the book of Daniel is filled with prophecy as well as the book of Ezekiel, and you can read along with that. But there came a time when Nebuchadnezzar built a statue. He built a statue there on the plain of Dura. And we can see that this thing was probably just overladen with gold, some 90 foot tall. That's about probably from that wall maybe to right here or more. That statue was that tall. And so you know the story as well as I do. He called together, and I'm sort of paraphrasing this for the sake of time, in chapter number 3 of Daniel. But he called all the governors together, the sheriffs together, and all the captains together, treasurers, and commentary said, well, we really don't know exactly the job descriptions of everybody that was there, but all these very important people was there. And there was a decree that went forth, and the decree that went forth was that by Nebuchadnezzar, the governor of the day, the king of the day, he said, when we begin to beat our drums and we begin to blow our whistles and we begin to make all this noise and all this music and all of this, there's something that we're demanding that you do. And so when all the noise started and all the music started and all the instruments started there was a decree that went forth in verse number 5 there of chapter 3. And it said, here's what we're wanting you to do. Now, you may disagree with Alan Green tonight, and you may fall out with me if you're listening to me online, and that's okay. Just everybody's got their views and their opinions. But I tell you what, there's an unusual sound in our culture today. There's an unusual sound afoot in our culture today. And the ungodliness that's going on in our society today, they're doing everything in the world they possibly can do to get you and I to bow down and surrender ourselves unto them. As it becomes to morality, as it becomes to holiness, as it becomes to righteousness, as it becomes to what is right and what is wrong. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that we're living in the same type of day in some ways as it was in this particular day. And we see this in the scripture in verse number 5 of Daniel 3. And again, this came as a herald. It came as a command by the king that when we begin to do all these things, we begin to blow these horns and we begin to beat these drums, the dulcimer and all kinds of music, here's what they're saying, that you're going to fall down and you're going to worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up, that the king had set up. Again, I believe that I'm talking to righteous people tonight. I believe that I'm talking to people filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe I'm talking to people that's filled with the power of God. I'm not a rebel. I'm not a rebellious person by my nature. I typically don't operate that way. But I'm going to tell you something in my own heart. I'm preaching this message. When you preach your message, you can preach it your way. I refuse to bow down to anything that takes away from the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. I refuse to do that. And I refuse to bow, and I'm not talking about a Democratic or a Republican system. I'm talking about a worldly system today that takes away from the authenticity to the divine order of God and to the fact that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says that Jesus Christ is. And today, that's the sound in our economy today. That's the sound in our world today. And that is exactly what the enemy of our soul wants us to do. When you begin to hear these sounds, just go ahead and bow down. Go ahead and surrender. Go ahead and begin to worship these idol gods. But go ahead and begin to worship these false gods. And then he says that if you don't, again, you can go back into the other places of the scripture and read this very same thing happened, because this was a means of capital punishment even during this day. And you can go back in Jeremiah 29 and 22. We're not going to go there right now and read that. But this was a means of capital punishment during the day when people would revolt against the command of the king. And then he says this in verse number 6. He says, "And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, the same shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Let me just say this, and as I move forward, in the church today, we may not be a large crowd anymore. Look around you. I don't know how many people's online. I have no clue. But at one time, it seemed like in the United States of America that there was a clarion call. There was a majority of individuals that lived in the United States of America that believed in the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the authenticity of the Word of God. And if I had statistics and if I took a vote this evening, I would dare say that it would probably be below 50% or 40% as to who would really believe in the divine order of God and the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the only path to heaven. Jesus said in John 14 and 6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. We're in trouble, folks, and this ain't got a thing in the world to do with the democracy. It don't have anything to do with the vote. It don't have anything to do with anything more than I read the Word of God in Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Paul told them the things that would take place. I spent part of the month of March and April talking about the rise of the Antichrist and the things that was going to be happening in the United States of America and around the world in soon coming days. And I still believe today that those things are on the table and those things will happen, because Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he told him that the spirit of the Antichrist, that the mystery of iniquity already works in the heart of man, even going all the way back to Adam, it's already there. So you and I today, either we're going to be sucked into a system that is propagated by the Antichrist, or we're going to be able to stand upon our own two feet and square our shoulders and declare before the God and the world that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, I don't know how you're receiving this word tonight, but it's just what's in my heart. It's really what God's put in my heart today. You see this as a story in the scripture. You see this as an event that took place, a real event that took place. Nebuchadnezzar was there. He set up the golden idol on the plain of Dura, some 90 foot tall. They begin to beat their drums. They begin to sound their music. And they said this: anybody that don't do what we tell them to do, there's going to be consequences, and there's going to be consequences for a decision that they will not go along with what I tell them to do. Does that sound like anything we've heard before? And it says in the scripture, it says, therefore, at that time, verse 7, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sabic, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, watch this, all the people, the nations and the languages, and that right there, again, look at that. That's like a one world organized system right there. All the nations and all the people, everybody come together to worship this one system. And it said here, and you look at that, all that fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And then he says here, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, and they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, all the music, I'm not going to read all that, just give you an overview. It says, and they shall fall down and worship the golden image. And then he says in verse 11, those that do not bow down and do this, they are supposed to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, he had set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over this providence, and it said that these guys that you had set over the providence had refused your order, king. So what are you going to do now? See, the pressure came from the outside to the king. You've got to make a decision on what you're going to do with these that refuse to go along with your system. And he says here, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. And then he set up, he says in verse 13, and Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were questioned, and he said, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image that I have set up. And he says in verse number 15, now if you be ready, that at the time that you hear this, he gave him a second chance, sound of the cornet, the harp, so on and so forth. It says, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. In other words, we take into great consideration what you're telling us. We know without shadow of a doubt, when we do not do what you tell us to do, that they possibly, potentially could be much harm done to us and much harm done to our bodies. And there possibly very well could be much affliction upon us if we choose to do not what you tell us to do. So we really take into consideration, and we do that very carefully according to what the Word of God says. And we do that before we answer you. In other words, they considered what they were going to have to go through if they refused the king. And they refused to bow down to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up on the plain of Dura. Now, I said all that to say this. What are we going to do as individuals when we feel from the outside of the world at large, and I'm not talking about Democrats, I'm not talking about Republicans, I'm talking about righteousness and unrighteousness, I'm talking about good versus evil. What are you and I going to do when the day comes, as I talked about on Sunday, when you and I have a decision in our own life to do right or wrong, good or bad, and when we have the opportunity before us to do what God tells us to do or do what the enemy of our soul tells us to do? This is what they were involved in. And he says here in the Word, again, when you look at this in verse number 16, he says, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. In other words, we are very, very considerate of what we're doing. But we are also uncompromising in what we're getting ready to tell you. Again, let me say this before I move forward. I still believe that the church... And the way I'm going to say this, it may not sound pretty, but I've got to say it the way I feel it. I believe the church at large during this COVID thing. It's no excuse, but I believe the church is a lot like the church of Ephesus. We've lost our first love, and people have grown cold in their heart towards the things of God. And my friend, I think if there's anything we need to do, we need to stoke the fire. We need to rekindle the fire. We need to build the fire again. We need to do like something I'm going to get into probably on Sunday morning. Don't want to give it away right now. But I thought I was going to be back over in Ezekiel, but I don't think I'll be there. I don't think so at this point. But anyway, I think we're going to have to make up our mind in the church today. I really believe if time tarries, I really believe if the rapture of the church don't take place soon, that according to Thessalonians, a lot of people may think that the great falling away is the taking away of the church, taking the church away in the rapture. I don't believe that. I believe that it is a falling away that starts because judgment's going to start at the house of God. I believe it's a falling away from those that at one time confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and they had a form of godliness, but now they're denying the power thereof. I believe there's an apostasy in the land today. There's a growing cold on the things of God, and I believe this with everything within me before I move forward. I believe only those that's going in the rapture, I believe this, is those that's looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And the Bible teaches us not to grow weary in well-doing. In due time, we shall reap if we faint not. I believe with everything within me, it's time for you and I to reaffirm our commitment to God, even in the midst of turmoil and even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of consequences that it might cost you and I to be a servant of the Most High God. But I promise you, when I get done this evening, here in about 30 minutes, hopefully, that you and I will have a boldness about us that when we leave this building and those watching online, that we're going to go out in the morning, we're going to face the world. And don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. I've been filled with anxiety all day long, just like you, over the news and over the television and everything that I'm seeing. But I want to say this, it's time for you and I not to necessarily hook up with a particular party, and I'll leave that where it's at. But it's time for you and I to look up. Amen. Not necessarily hook up, but look up. Because I believe as long as we're looking unto Jesus, I believe that Jesus is soon to come. These young men in this story, these young men in this particular Bible study that we're looking at right now, they were put to the test. They were put to the test by the authoritarians of the day. Either you're going to do what we're going to tell you to do, or there's going to be consequences that's soon to follow, and they are severe consequences. We're going to heat up this furnace and you're going to be thrown into the furnace. My friend, it may not be a physical furnace as such it was with them, but I do believe that there's going to be a day in front of us, the Lord tarry, rapture don't take place, that it might even be a crime to come together like we are right now. You might not even be able to go into a restaurant, open up your Bible and sit down and read the Word of God without somebody walking by in management and telling you got to get up and leave. You can't do that in public no more. I used to take my Bible years ago and do it on purpose when I was working and doing different jobs. I'd sit at a table somewhere and eat a hamburger and read my Bible, and nobody never said anything to me. A lot of people complimented. A lot of people had good things to say. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. My opinion, preach it your way when you get up here, but I believe with everything within me that the day of that type of reception in the public workplace is well far over. I believe that we are a minority, and I believe with everything within me, that if we're going to stand for God, today's the day that we're going to have to do it. Even in the face of opposition, even in the face of somebody trying to shut you down, and I'm not talking about being a smart aleck. I'm not talking about being an irritant. I'm not talking about being ugly, but I'm talking about being bold. When they saw the boldness of Peter and James and John and those in the book of Acts, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What did they do? They portrayed themselves as Christ-like. They betrayed themselves as Christians, and they looked at them and they could not say anything about them that they had the character, they had the persona about them of the nature of Jesus. And I believe too that that's one thing that we've got to get back to, that we need to take on again the nature and the characteristics of the spotless Lamb of God, to be able once again to go forward in this world and say that this is what a Christian is and this is what a Christian looks like. Amen. You may be the only Christian that's in your workplace. Don't fret that. Don't get mad at that. You go into that workplace and you be the light shining in the darkness. You be the example of the church. You be the example of Jesus Christ wherever you're at. We see this again in the Word, where that these young men was there, and they said in verse number 17, again, he says this. He said, we're very careful, and we're not going to answer you lightly. We're going to take this as a very serious matter. But verse number 17 is one that's very important to me. He said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. And that's the position of the church today. Oh, this world is trying to put pressure on the church. Silence the church. Make the church be quiet. Oh, but let me tell you tonight, O King, here's my word for you, O King. If it so be, he said, our God whom we serve is able. Somebody say, God is able. Say it loud and proud. God is able. One more time. God is able to deliver us from the fiery burning furnace. It don't make no difference what we're going through in the world that we're living in, that God still is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think, according to the power of God that worketh within us. That again, John 4:4 says, greater is he, 1 John, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Let me say it like this. It is about time for the world to see a church on fire, not a church down in the muddy groves like I get every now and then, but a church that's on fire, a church that squares their shoulders, a church that looks forward, and a church that holds their head up and say, hey, oh King, this one thing we do not know, whether or not our God will deliver us out of the furnace or not, but there's one thing we do know, that we are not going to serve you, and we're not going to bow down to your God, and we're not going to sacrifice our God for your God. And that's what they really did. He says that in verse number 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King. Somebody say, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And O Nebuchadnezzar, I could only imagine in my own mind, I could imagine his eyes dilating and his eyes getting bloodshot, his nose beginning to drip. I can imagine his ears turning red all the way around, and his face beginning to get plump, and him looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I could just see him getting filled with fury because they refused to bow to his system and to his God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We may not be the most popular kid on the baseball team, but if you and I stand, if God be for me, then who can be against me? You and I may not be the most popular person in our workplace, but if God be for me, then who can be against me? We may not be the most popular person wherever we go, but if God be for me, then who can be against me? I believe that's the position that they took on this whole issue. There's about 30 minutes with me not even taking a breath. Well, praise God. Praise God. Are you out there? Amen. 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 And they said, just know this. You can decree all you want to. You can declare all you want to. You can say all you want to. But we're just telling you, we're not going to fall to your system. And here's the thing. And again, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to do anything of the such. But I believe sometimes that, and I'm talking about on spiritual issues, we give up too easy. We give up ground too easy. If you were in a battle, you wouldn't tell the enemy that was coming at you, oh, come on in, Mr. Enemy, just go ahead and take it on. You wouldn't do that. But I'm afraid, because of the fact that many of us, myself included, we've been in this thing called spiritual warfare for a long, long time. And I'm going to be honest with you. We've got some battled, wearied soldiers, people that's tired. You've been in the fight for a long time. You've been in the battle for a long time, but I got a couple of things here to say. First of all, don't lose your vision for the things ahead. Don't quit believing in what you know to be the truth. If God promised it to you, God is still going to perform the very thing that He promised. You say, well, it's not happened yet. Well, I remember reading in the book of Habakkuk, and I read a little bit through that again this morning as I was trying to decide what I was going to do tonight. And the Bible reminds me that it is for an appointed time. And again, I heard a good friend of mine years ago, Bishop Jim Boland, say words like this. He said, if there's prophecies over this house when he was at the church he pastored, he said, hey, just because we've not seen it yet, it don't mean that those prophecies are dead. And I'm saying it like this. COVID-19, the church has taken a hit. The United States of America has taken a hit. Every family has taken a hit. But I'm going to tell you something. If God has spoken something over you, if the promises of God are still yea and amen, if God said something over this church, can I say it tonight? That prophecy is not dead. And God that we serve is able to perform everything that He said He would do over your life, my life, our family. I remember God telling me something years ago over my own son. He said, as surely as thou hast sown the seed, there will be a harvest. And again, I declare over that prophecy that God spoke to me years ago and confirmed it again to me sitting at McDonald's in Hemby Bridge, North Carolina, many years ago. And God brought it back up into my heart, praying over my son, and said, as much as you have sown the seed, God said, there will come a harvest out of your seed. I don't know when the harvest is coming. I don't know, but honey, hear me tonight. It's harvest time, and there's enough naysayers out there. But I believe that God is getting ready to do an amazing thing in your life and my life if we won't let go too early. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord tonight if you're in the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, before I get into the rest of this, I want to talk about 7 things. I told you just that. I mean, that alone is going to get me through the next hour. So hang on to this. Okay, you ready? This is what I saw when I read this when I was studying earlier today. What comparison do I see between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in our world system today and what the world's telling the church? What the world's telling you? Pipe down, quieten down. Something happened to me probably a year ago or something back. And it stunted my spiritual growth for a while. Still sometimes every now and then. I don't feel it right now, and I hope I don't feel it again. How many of you know different people got different gifts and talents? And I've mentioned this before. I know my own heart is a pastor because of God's love that He's put me for people and for sheep. But there's a firebrand in my heart as an evangelist. That particular part of my life gets squelched every now and then. It just sort of gets quenched, if you will. Something happened and I got it through the grapevine that I was too loud and I hollered too much, and it didn't take all that anymore to get the point across. And that wasn't at the church down the road. That was the church at Thomasville Church of God. And I took that into consideration. Maybe I just needed to tone it down a little bit. Maybe I needed to just be more modern. Maybe I just needed to control myself a little bit more, not look. Maybe I was embarrassing somebody because they wanted this little puppet to fit into this little mold, to be this certain little way or something. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm fighting a real battle. You're fighting a real battle. I was reading over the weekend. I'm getting off track. Bobby, you help me. If I get off the Bible, you tell me. When Ezekiel went and preached the word, read it in your Bible. Read Ezekiel. You know what Ezekiel did? Hey, think about John the Baptist. John was clothed in a garment, a camel coat. He had this weird-looking hairdo, no doubt a weird-looking beard, and he'd been in the wilderness for a long time, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he had a girdle on, and he held his garb together. He must have been a character, you know. But he came out of the wilderness with a hot message on his lips. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He preached repentance. Ezekiel, and here's what it is. Bob, you help me if I get outside the Word of God. You know what he did? Ezekiel, when God put it in his mouth, his tongue cleaved to the top of his mouth for a period of time. He wasn't able to open his mouth. And then when God released him and loosed his tongue, you know what he did? He went out there in front of the people. Read it in your Bible. And you know what he did? He went. Hey, I've got a message from God. Sorry for those of you that don't like hollering. He clapped his hands. You know what else he did? He stamped his feet and he slapped his thigh. Read it in the Bible. It's in there. Woo! I've lost about a half a dozen right there. They just turned the internet off. He's a little bit too wild for me. No, the problem is we're dried up on the vine and we're a little bit too comfortable where we're at. And I'm praying that God will put a little fire in us again. Stoke the fire. You say it don't take all that, preacher. It may not take all that for you. But this thing, when I got started in it, there was fire shut up in my bones. And I'm praying right now that God would once again get me out of a depressed state, get me out of oppression, get out from under this Charlie Brown cloud that you walk under sometimes, and God put the fire of God back in your heart and back in your spirit. Paul said, preach it when they like it, preach it when they don't. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And he said, sometimes it may be a little bit sweet on the lips, but it's going to be bitter in their belly. Amen. Sometimes it takes a little rebuke. Sometimes it takes a little bit of somebody telling you, you better get your heart right with God again or you're going to be left behind. My friend, sometimes somebody's got to stir you up. And they got stirred up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got called to the carpet. And they said, hey, looky here. You're going to get thrown into the fiery furnace or you're going to deny your God. What are you going to do? He said, well, King, just let me tell you one thing. Whether our God will deliver us or not, we don't know that yet because we've not been tested with the furnace yet. But this one thing I do know, that I'm going to go into the furnace believing God. But there's one thing about it. I'm not going to serve your God. And I believe that's where we need to stand up today and say, hey, whatever comes our way, whatever it looks like, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. If I die trying, at least I was trying when I went down. I'm going to be singing Amazing Grace on my way down. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, we need to sing our songs again. They may be old songs. They need to be young songs. I don't care what you sing. Just sing your song unto God and let God be exalted and let God rise and his enemies be scattered because God is still alive and God is still on the throne tonight. Hallelujah. So calm down. Quieten down. I got about 15 or 25 people in this building tonight. And by the way, stay away from me 12 foot, not 6. I get in a spit zone up here. I've warned you. 7 things. Fast. You got your pen ready? You don't have to have a pen. You can go back and look at it later. What was the dividing factor with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I think I threw my glasses. Here they are. I got them. Here's first thing. First things first. Abby, how fast are you up there? You pretty fast? Don't worry about the scripture. I want you to put up key words for me. Are you ready? Are you real fast? It's a test. First word I want you to put up. She didn't know I was going to do this. I didn't know I was going to do it. First word I want you to put up there is this. Determination. We got time. Here's the thing, the first thing. If we're going to survive the day and the hour that we're living in, and if we're going to be rewarded for our faithful, we got to be determined. They had a determination to serve God. When I think about that word, I think it goes along with this. That they had an intention to serve God. If I get up Sunday morning and go to church, it's fine. If not, it's fine. If I pray today, it's fine. If not, it's fine. Y'all don't know it, but I'm digging up fallow ground. I'm digging it up in my own life. They had a determination. That should be the first one on your list. Number two, heart. Heart. Everything you do and everything I do comes out of our heart. Here's the thing. They had a determination to serve God. Number two, they had a heart to please God. Even in the face of a tyrant king that said, you're going to bow, and this is how you're going to do it. They did not lose their heart for the things of God. Confession time. And Holy Spirit, I'm leaning on you, and Lord Jesus, you do whatever you want to do right now in my life and in this heart, this sanctuary. If there's anything as a pastor, and I'm up here and you're back there, you're listening, and you're the you root me on. If they've been anything over the last 9 months, can you believe it's been 9 months of COVID? 9 months. If they've been anything that's done to me, it's tried to discourage my heart, even as a pastor. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I came in tonight a little discouraged because of the television today. Yeah, absolutely. Just because I don't see people putting forth the effort for the kingdom of God anymore. Confession time. Okay, let's get confession time. When I come to Thomasville Church of God, I've seen a church full of people that was vibrant, on fire. Is this too much for Wednesday night? I've seen a church full of people that loved one another, that had one thing on their mind, and that was serving Jesus. People can't help it that they're in glory tonight. People passed away. So don't misunderstand what I'm trying to get to. But with every person that we loved and every person that we cared about and every person that we've watched pass away, well, they have give up the ghost and fell away from a little bit more discouragement and a little bit more discouragement, a little bit more discouragement. And it's almost as if people was getting in line. Well, I'll be next. Just waiting on my turn. And you know what? In my mind at times, it's like, who's next? Whose funeral will I be doing next? I remember something, God knows my heart. I don't mean to be hurtful. That's not my goal. That's not my intent. Years ago, when we were going through so many of our loved ones, I said something to Tony back there, Tony Leonard, and Tony said, well, you hang around here long enough, buddy, there'll be a whole lot more of them. Tony told me that with his own mouth. And with every passing person, discouragement. Have you ever seen the church so discouraged in all of your life? These guys were told, hey, either you're going to bow or you're going to burn. I could only imagine the discouragement that come to their mind. But they determined in their heart, watch this, before I go on. They had a heart to please God. And no matter who's next on God's calendar to leave this world, could be me, could be Sherry, could be any of us in this room. I use me and her as an example because we're the leader. It could be us. But here's the thing. Keep your heart for God. And I'm talking to the preacher as much as the pew. Oh, and I don't forget about our lovely people online tonight. Them as well. Keep your heart after God. These guys would have never made it through this situation without their heart being after God. Two, that's number two. I got five more. Number three, the word confidence. And I'm not talking about Elvis Presley's song, Confidence. Watch this. This is a two-word sentence, Abby, kindly. But they had the confidence to trust God. Trust. That one goes with number three. That's not one of my seven. Do we have the confidence to trust God when we don't even see God? Wow. You say, how in the world, Pastor? Let me tell you something, friend. There's a few people, and I won't look around, but there's a few people in this room that I know have been through some stuff. There have been days in my life that where I know that the confidence that I had at one time in God, I was saying, God, where in the world you at? Now, y'all may have never been that way before. I mean, you know, you might always be on cloud 10, and you may never have a problem in your life. Bow or burn, because if you don't bow, we're going to throw you in that furnace. And they kept their confidence and their trust in God. And I'm saying when you and I are going through the things that we're going through today, it may not always be easy, but this is what God would have us to do, is to keep our confidence in Him. Fourth, and I got to put my glasses on again to see it. Are y'all ready? They never forgot the word necessity. I'm checking Abby's spelling tonight, aren't I? Because she's writing that in there just as quick as I'm saying it. That's a smart girl. I'd have to get out Google and say, spell necessity for me. Okay, Google, spell necessity. I'm waiting on your phone to go off. They never forgot the necessity of prayer. Don't get mad at the preacher. You call a prayer meeting, crickets. You call for something else that we enjoy that's fun when we was able to do things like that. You get a house full. I wasn't going to say eat, but that's part of it. They never forgot the necessity of prayer. If the church don't get back to praying again, we're in trouble. Bobby, can I tell on you? I've always said Bobby's my hero. He's also working on my chainsaws for me. And I'm not just tooting Bobby's horn. Bobby's been through a lot. He's a good friend. But you know how that man impacted my life more than anything else? When Charlotte had a little physical episode, we went on a mission trip. We were in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We'd had a long day and a hard day, and we were scattered over into a church fellowship hall area, sleeping bags all over and little places. We made us a little bedding. Chris was there, different ones. My old lazy hide was fluffing my pillow. And I looked around, I saw Bobby on his knees over there beside his bed, crying out to God and praying. The rest of us laying over like fat salmon. Bobby, you don't know what that done to me. And you, it might be what you do every day. But it just changed me in a moment there. Is never give up on the necessity of prayer. If I had time, I'd talk about prayer. Jesus prayed. Jesus gave the example of prayer. Fifth, y'all ready? This is a good one. When we get into dilemmas, we have a tendency to want to throw our hands up, don't we? I do. Wring our hands, break out in hives, start sweating beads. What am I going to do now? This is very important. They took them, they bound them, they threw them in the fire. You see that. It says that in the Word. It says that in verse number 7. They heated it 7 times hotter, commanded the mighty men to take old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look in verse 20. Bind them. Cast them into the furnace. They were bound in their coats, hosen, hats, other garments, everything. No trace of them left behind. And they were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. What are you and I going to do in days ahead if need be when the fiery furnace comes? Here's the key word, faithful. This is a good one. Y'all got that song ready to play again in a few minutes? Here it is. They were faithful in the fire. Oh, preacher, I can't believe I'm going through what I'm going through. If God loved me, what you're going through. Look at Joseph. I don't have time to start on Joseph. Remember, I left Joseph getting ready to go to jail because of Potiphar's wife. Joseph's in jail right now. I'll get him eventually. Don't start it yet. Joseph couldn't see at the time what he was going through, how God was going to exalt him back into the vice president for Potiphar, VP, the second in command. What you're going through and I'm going through, oftentimes we feel like it's going to kill us. Integrity is what you do in front of people. Character is what you do when you're by yourself. It's in that fire, when you're going through it by yourself, that God develops the person that he wants you to be. And what God hides away are those that God hides away. It may not be your season, but when it's your season, and don't misunderstand the way I'm going to say this, the only way I can say it is the way I feel it. When it's your turn for him to put you on the stage, he'll put you on the stage. That's the only way I can say it. But until then, sometimes we seem to be we have a tendency to be behind the scenes, so to speak, while God's developing us. Been there, done that a lot in my days. They were faithful in the fire. 6. This is more of what God did for them more than what they did towards God. Because of these things, heated the furnace up. You know the story, all the way down through verse 25. Because they were faithful, God showed up and God sustained them. Remember the Zarephath story, the woman with sticks and little cruse of oil remained faithful. And because she remained faithful, God showed up and God sustained. And why do you say that? I got one, Abby. Don't give up too early. I didn't have that one written down, but it's a good one, ain't it? Don't give up too early. The last one. And here it is. It says, and he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, have no hurt. And the form of the fourth man is the Son of God." Again, God showed up and sustained them. You can read all the way down through verse number 28. Here's the last thing. Because of what all I've already said. And here's the word, witness, or witnesses, with an ES on the end, whichever way. Because of all I've already said, they became God's great witnesses. How many of you know that we're all Jehovah's Witnesses? We're all Jehovah's Witnesses. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Read this scripture. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Huh? Are you with me? "Who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word." Look at the order of the day got changed because of their faithfulness. "And yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their God." 29 says, "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Last one is promotion comes from the Lord. There's my heart for tonight. That's my index card message. Hit that song again. I hear it back in the background. I want you, while this song's playing, to just give God the credit for your life. He's brought you through the fire. He's brought you through the storm. And I love you. God bless you.